Yeah. It's amazing, actually, the connections between everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's not connected, but sometimes it's so subtle and sometimes seemingly contradictory, but actually once you catch it, you see it's not contradicting at all. It's just, because the Lord's a person, everything, and a personality is contradictory. So that means everything else in creation also has to have that same contradictoriness inherent in it, you know?
Yeah, probably even wrote in the letter that to be a person means to be imperfect. And he applied it to Krishna. He said, just like Krishna, it's so much thinking of Radharani that he tries to milk a bull.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes the gopis, they put their clothes on all wrong. That's how the prophet defined personality means imperfection, even in this
imperfection.
Yeah.
Imperfection.
In other words, this hyper rationality, you know, to get everything in its right place. And,
it drives everyone.
That's
nuts.
Also impersonalism.
Yes, it's
even though there's form and activity, but there's so much controlling.
Yeah, because in the control is fear, which is I.
Yeah.
I am God. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's why somebody's too controlling or too much perfectionist, it drives you nuts.
Yeah, there was also a time once a devotee came to Prabhupada and was lamenting that I'm being criticized, you know. So other devotees talk about me and they say I'm like this and like that. And Prabhupada said, yes. And when Krishna comes, they criticize him. Probably we're just saying this is part of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, it's just part of rasa. You know? Because then, how do you appreciate a friend if there isn't such a thing as an enemy? You know, you don't. It's like the weather now. We'll say this is right now. It's like pleasant. Because we know what is hot and what's cold.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how can you appreciate that it's pleasant? You know? So it's like you have to have all these things, otherwise there's no meaning. You know, it's just like it's always there. You know, so unless you have, a really extremely right or extremely left personalities, then you won't have Madhyama. You know, unless you have older and younger, then you won't have the middle age. So, you know, everything that's you would say is perfect about Radha and Krishna. There's always something that's beyond that or before that in some degree of extreme that makes them the perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Jai ho, jai ho. Back to work.
So we will be having for lunch just 2 days ago. And actually I just want to ask about because you see I travel around Europe all the time. In the official function as the European Sankirtan Minister. And I found it extremely inspiring to come here and hear this, which is even a more part of the seminar. But I was wondering, because he told me there is not like a very major propaganda for this whole program here, that if there would be some ways I could actually direct devotees if they're interested, they could get some MP3s, get some material.
I mean, I would talk to Mataji and her husband.
Yeah.
You know, Shanti Prabhu. Because basically is they're kind of like coordinating the running of this. I mean, it's myself and Maharaj, we give classes, he develops curriculum, we discuss. But actually the participation that they're directing. So then, see, because we're giving the lectures once, so they're given. And two, for those who are in Mayapur can take part, there's always something, special that you gain from association, discussioning, and all those kind of things. Things come out that may not, by your own study, come. So, but it's not the class, the way it's run is the lecture, technically, you don't have to be at that point in your study. Though, when you're at that point in the study, the lecture is relevant to that. You know what I'm saying? So you could be studying First Canto now, but be sitting here in Mayapur, you know, listening to the class on the Second Canto. That doesn't matter, because it's always the same points and principles. It just gets more and more developed. It's not different. So that means anyone anywhere could study the book with, along with Srimad Bhagavatam, write the essays, send that to them, and listen to the lectures and, you know, participate.
Just in general, whatever material, because I'm kind of new to this. I was not involved with this. But in general, any kind of material on MP3s from the past, any kind of a few lectures.
Yeah, we have that. We have lectures also and other things. Bhagavatam.
I heard there's some web page you can download things.
I'm not sure. That you'd have to speak to P.T. Barnum.
P.T. doesn't want to do it because all his kind of get materials and like lectures.
That. So what is the system for the lawyers to get some records?
That means then they would have to become like a somehow or another a registered
some
member.
Some women has to be what Sukhadra Maharaj told us, that he wants people who wants to involve, it means to show some commitment. Otherwise it's very easy, everyone does that. So.
Well, okay.
We didn't speak about it exactly.
Yeah, no, we should work out something. Because the idea is those who are registered students then could, you know, get, avail themselves to it.
So in other words, that's kind of requirement that they, how do they register?
That you work out with them. But otherwise you can get, means they can arrange to get lectures and different things.
Right.
There's also, actually, on other things, you know, specifically on Varnashram and this and that, so many things are there.
Because
Sukhadra
Maharaj, he's not very keen to distribute to everyone. I don't know how to...
I would say that those who are registered students, then they should get the classes.
Yeah, because a lot of devotees is asking, oh, I want the study material, I want the classes, but I don't want to participate. And he's against that.
So. Yeah, so then no saying, so this is for those who want to study this and register and take the course, so like that.
But you have from the past some kind of general lectures recorded.
Yeah, no, that there's so much of that.
There's
probably like, let's say, 20 CDs of MP3 material.
And that's available without registration?
Yeah,
you're asking about Maharaj's.
Yeah. That you just talked to P.T. Varden. Like that.
Yeah.
He was a brahmachari who was sitting here before. Maybe go upstairs to the office, ask him.
He's from Czech, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from Czech.
I think it's incredibly neat in Europe.
Okay.
We have another type of Sankirtan devotees. It's not the kind of generation I come from.
Kind
of revolutionary, terrorist, you know, minded people who just come for, you know, and who more or less are also pressed into the Sankirtan out of social pressure, out of social commitment. Not this anymore. Sankirtan distribution comes very much from the, even from the Namahata circles, like from the Buddha circles. Or the bhaktas which I see now when I'm sitting in these vans, this is usually a more academic type. Like 1 month ago I saw it in Germany, I was sitting in a van, you know, giving lecture. You have two laptops coming up, you know, and we just type it in and record it on this. And very much different from the days when I was, you know, very much Hari growing up in Sankirtan, you know.
Yeah.
This is the kind of people who, we don't have the megastars anymore. There's not Navina Niradas, Haina Manandas flying in the sky out there doing 900 books a day. This is not anymore at all like this, actually. But it's a hope that it could be a little bit more long term and it could be more deeply based. And like you have a Tattva Vada here, you know, he is like powering the whole preaching in Finland, basically. And he has this image as retired military officer to be some kind of, you know, kinetic or whatever. Not at all. Actually, he is not at all like this.
He's very quiet.
He is actually giving university programs, and he is preaching on a quite broad basis. But of course, his focus is mainly on the books, naturally. And but he's very exceptional. He's an amazing personality. I go quite often to Finland. So quite amazing personality. And in every country, you find basically the book distribution is boiled down still to a very small group of people who very actually don't UK institution is broken, don't receive any support. Mm-hmm. We hear much of this Buddhist devotion, Vijaya, and stuff, because Prabhupada wanted that, we know that. Mm-hmm. But in reality, when you travel around, it's a pretty underground movement. You know? Mm-hmm. It's pretty...
It's like education. It's all part of the Brahminical culture. It's all underground.
As more quality it gets, the austere it gets, as more, of course, it could boil down to something very essential. So I'm always moving just amongst these lands and amongst these devotees, and I see there's a real need for this. And they are very eager, they are very hungry for this. And what I really liked, what really, really impressed me is this is actually a practice-oriented teaching.
Yeah, no, it has to be. You can't apply
it. You always have this, does it make sense? It's like this, you have this in there. And this is actually that you don't lose anybody. It's not a kind of charismatic, self-pointed, you know, almost narcissistic Shastra presentation, you could say, which you hear quite often, here and there, but it passes over the people's heads. At best, they get impressed or puffed up even from that, but it doesn't have a practical output. And this is what Sankirtan actually is there. It demands practical understanding. Nowadays, devotees cannot even derive inspiration from some social pressure. It's not there. When I joined here, first time came to Mayapur, everybody was a Buddhist devotee. I had Tripurari on the balcony standing there, going, I will defeat you next to you. And this was like the driving force. it was the whole year ending just to catch up with Tripurari. You know? This was like my force behind Well, these kind of sources of inspiration nowadays are not available. There's nobody there on these levels. And devotees, I like it personally. Because I'm getting older. I was shouting Sankirtan Ki Jai and beating my dandas. I heard it. I had enough. So I also very much sympathize with this, even young devotees who are looking actually for something deeper. Something which really, as Suvada Swami told me, just, you know, it's their transistor, but they hold in hand. You know, and they give it to people. And the deeper they appreciate, it's immediately reflected into the process of book distribution. Because they don't have to invent these fashionable mantras and all this kind of blah, blah, blah. It becomes more straight and pure, because people can very much sense if a person is convinced about this, what he wants in the head or not. And that conviction is transmitted to them. And this is actually what makes Sankirtan so interesting and more long-term lasting, actually. And such a Sankirtan devotee, you cannot get him down from the street so easily. Because he is just fixed and just focused on this. So this is a kind of thing which is, and I feel like I don't find it anymore. That kind of preaching, I mean, I don't go much to these lectures. So it's very charismatic, it's very, you could almost say personal cult pointed. It creates a momentarily maybe a big effect, and after that it's like there was not much left. People change maybe their name, you know, but you don't see really practical output in a preaching field. And Sankirtan needs this more vital fueling, you know, to last and to flourish. So therefore I'm interested how to transmit this a little bit more amongst these few devotees. It's not going to be a huge army, but there are devotees like Tattvavada, who are, he goes out, he's heavy Buddhist student. He goes out and he is still out there with the young bhaktas, he's doing that. But naturally he needs more deeper source of inspiration, because, and he is also transmitting it to others. How did you learn from him more, like in that regard? Because I feel also a little bit empty-handed, you know, when I, they expect me to be some old, you know, a deity from the past, you know. Manidhara, the old Buddhist Buddha, Prabhupada disciple, here I come, you know. I feel very dusty and very worn out on this. I feel like stuffed up, you know, from the museum, you know. So I want to have something more substantial to, you know, to keep like this. This is, I think, natural development for a very older devotee, and he's looking for a deeper level, so to be inspired to preach. This is, I found very
valuable.
Thank you very much for this, for this, you know, does it make sense, you know, because we want all that makes sense. So, therefore I was looking for a means maybe to mention this, not making it, not walking around with a big propaganda sign.
No, it's just, no, it's there.
Like Sura Sami told me, this big banners hanging from the roofs, you know, here it comes, you know, and then after that, usually, 50% drop out from the program and lots of not
air. It's a problem.
You know, no, something which really stays. It's a substantial. And I think this is something very substantial. I know Surya Goswami since 30 years. Very close.
Okay.
So I'm still feeling quite close because it doesn't take us 2 minutes to get there and we are
back in.
He is still a revolutionary, but on the real platform, he goes deeper. And I'm still deriving benefit from his years back, from his analytical lectures. He could put in one lecture, he could put the whole German yantra in place again. Hare Krishna couldn't do this. That was a lot of fun. In one lecture, we were all Sangitam ki jaye, German was never lack of hard work. And the whole yatra overpowered by mode of passion. Doing heavy work but no result. And everybody started to get confused. In one lecture, he put it back again. 3 hours lecture, just, this assembling on the whole same. It was of this typical humor, I don't know, this one Sankirtan meeting, we were all sitting there ready for the fight to defeat the German demons again.
Uh-huh.
You know, passionate. No brains, it's just passion. And before you start the lecture, you already laughed. You start to laugh, here's this kind of specific laughter. We were all sitting there with open mouths, what's going on? And he started the lecture. You all look like the Marlboro man. This guy on a horse, and this was really the beginning of the and then it was 3 hours, Shastric evidence.
Yeah.
How we lost the point. Where is Krishna in this whole thing? And then everybody cooled down, started again. This was the history of the German yatra. It was always big passion, no result, bomb, frustration. Again, coming up, big passion, bomb. So he was the balancing factor in the whole thing for years. And as he is diplomacy is not his specialty. Then you get this, what you just mentioned, you get this friends and enemies.
Yeah.
Of course. I think this is a destiny of anybody who is Brahmanically motivated and doesn't want to get institutionally compromised or something like that.
Yeah.
So he will earn that result.
Yeah.
So, I know where my sympathy goes because I share the same destiny. I was an outcast in many regards. I feel like more like underground, traveling around between the Sankirtan people. But that's where the love is. It's amazing how even new Bhaktas just going on that book distribution, just trying, they get such a touch on Prabhupada. Sometimes I hear Sri Prabhupada talking to me. It's so inspiring to be with this devotee. Even in Mayapur, they don't speak English, these Bengali boys. I can extract them from the crowd. Who of these guys go on the book distribution? They are distinctly humble, distinctly low profile, because they know from the street you keep your head down, you don't stick it up because it's otherwise, And I think this is so valuable. Therefore, I'm just looking for means how to point to them. You want some lectures? Basic lectures, not even, of course, the studying course also is very nice.
There's just general lectures, seminars on, Brahmacharya and Varanashram, different things are there, even Grihastha, Bhagavatam lectures.
I saw really yesterday on the internet, exchanging with somebody, what is this quote you made a few days ago, this was so powerful, it's a little thing, why Krishna doesn't manifest as a conditioned soul. Because he wants them liberally, not interfere with their attempt to enjoy the prakriti, like the man who knows the woman is already busy. So he will not, even let the other man, you want to try? So this that's actually one, this is amazing. He wants to know these things. There's no speculating, I'm trying, why is Krishna not manifesting, why is this? Like, because he just thinks, you want to enjoy prakriti, So this is all these things, little points coming up. This is so deepening the appreciation and the service. I'm saying, we just want to show you that everything is in Prabhupada's books. And this is what makes the devotees think, wow, and this is what I'm giving to them on the stage. When he has that consciousness, people get this. They know this.
It means you can study the works of the Acharyas, the Vedic literatures, to get the technical points that Prabhupada's talking about. Because what's actually important is the conclusion, not the technique. Technique is something else. You know, it's just like you learn the technique, and then there's always what's beyond that. You know, and that's considered the master. The master is not the one who's expert in technique. The master is the one who knows what the foundation of the technique is based on. Like that. So naturally he'll be good at technique. But even if he's not, it doesn't matter. Because those who have technique, he can still instruct them. Like that. You know, because generally, through one discipline, you'll know the technique. And from that, you get to the conclusion. And then from there, the Vedic thing is once you get to that conclusion, from there, then you go sideways into all the other subjects. So actually, you know the conclusion of all subjects. Like that. So it's.
This was my always little doubt sometimes about the Brahminical community, because I'm just coming from the street, you know, that they have sometimes these hobbies, this kind of thing, to float away in this direction, that direction, and lose people on the road.
But it has to be connected.
But this is what I like, but this is conclusive, you know. This is keeping the conclusion always in front.
Because the conclusion is actually simple, so the newest person can understand it. That's the point. Then those who are more mature will gain more from that. But those who are new, so because otherwise you have a lecture that's based, you know, geared towards the new people, but senior people don't appreciate it. Or you have ones that may be geared towards them, the new people can't understand it. But if you're dealing with conclusion, it works for both. It's the same thing. Is, you know, it's just like you say, you know, like the Mahabharata will say, and then he was intimate with his wife, right? So then the kids and all that just means, okay, he's close with his wife, like that. But those who are grihasthas and that, then they know what that means. So, but the same thing works for both. So that's when Prabhupada speaks, he's speaking because his conclusion, it works for all audiences. If you want to know the technicalities that go behind that, that's what the other Vedic literatures are for. Just like Bhagavatam is to give the conclusion. You want to know about astrology, that you learn from the astrology books. But the conclusion of astrology, that's Bhagavatam. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that you get that there. You don't come here, you know. You know, you want to know your basic arithmetic, that you go to the grade school teacher. But what math is and how, what it's actually for, that you get from the professor. That kind of thing. So, someone who's mastering a subject can speak clearly like Prabhupada does. That's his mastery. Sometimes that's taken, because it's not elaborate, then those who are expert will think something's lacking. But being expert is not the main thing. Expert is good, that's required, but it's actually the mastery that's important. You know, so that's the thing. Like, an expert can't explain anything simply. They just can't, because there's no taste for them. For them, it's their experts, so the complexity of the whole thing is what inspires them. But for the master, it's the essence of it that inspires. So an essence is so simple. You know, it's like sambandha abhidhaya prayojana. You know, meaning process. I mean, yes, it means relationship, process, and goal. Right? That's the essence of all the philosophy, everything is that. So in relationship, then there's the living entity, there's God, and there's the material energy. So the living entity is part and parcel of God, subservient to God, and the material energy is one of his energies, right? So it's subservient. Then process is by connecting everything to Krishna through the Sankirtan, through chanting, then we come to the goal, which is this prayojana of developing love for God. So anybody, you can tell that to anybody. Kids, adults, philosophically inclined people, people who are not. Everybody will understand it. Then everything else is technical detail expanding from that. So if that's known, then according to one's ability, you expand. But if you don't know that, even you have so much knowledge, if you don't understand these three, technically you're not actually educated. You're very intelligent. You know, and you've worked very hard. You've done a lot of austerity in the realm of education, but you're not actually well educated.
This is nowadays wildly, wildly broadcasted, you know, amongst devotees, that Akshara Brahmanikula means academic. And that's it.
You know, no, but the academic has to be practical. That's what it's for. Because if the academic can't be applied, it means you have a theory, but the theory is supposed to be applicable. You know, it's just like you say, okay, we want to create something that moves. So you have to have something that drives it and some way for it to move on, right? So that's the theory of a vehicle. But then you actually have to have, you know, either some propellers or some air or some rail or some wheels or something that it's moving on, you know, and something that moves it. You know, so it can't be that the theory is something that doesn't apply. The Vedas don't agree with that. It gives that opening because there are people who like that. But actually that's not considered very... that's not actually the proper use, because theory means you have philosophy, which is technically the theory, is the tattva, but it has to be applied into rasa, a relationship or a culture. So you have to be able to connect the philosophy to the culture, you know, the theory to the relationship, then it has meaning. But otherwise, if it's only theory, then it'll be speculative, and if it's only relationship, it'll be sentimental. The two have to be connected. Then it's powerful, because you know what you're doing and what is to be gained from it. Otherwise one doesn't know, you know, because it's not obvious. One may say, the pragmatist will say, well, we'll just observe and it's obvious. You can get a lot from that. You can't get everything. Just give one, like, very, let's say, example. Somebody just disappeared. The wife is annoyed. So the normal duties that she would do for the husband, sometimes she may not do. Doesn't feed him, doesn't take care of his clothes, just that. So the normal perception would be, this woman doesn't like me, or reducing her affection. But it's only from Shastra that we understand it's just one of 16 manifestations of affection. 8 of them happen to be positive, 8 happen to be negative, and this is one of them. You know, like that. Or let us say the woman says, get out of here, go away, I don't want to see you. Means the exact interaction that's going on now, I want you to adjust from that. It doesn't mean necessarily leave the room and not be seen. You know? Does that make sense? You're sitting with them on the couch. They want you to move to the other chair. Because the couch in that means one kind of relationship, interaction. But that is what you want to disappear. It's that experience. It's not the physicality. So all these things you'll only get from Shastra. Because the pragmatist, by his observation, won't come up with this. Because even if you ask the women themselves, they themselves wouldn't be able to describe this. If you point it out, they'll agree. But if you told them to explain it, they wouldn't, because things are experienced. Men, it's like it's described. So that's why the Shastras are written, and it talks about he, because the intelligent aspect of the personality, or the masculine aspect, which men and women both have, that's what can understand that. But the feminine is experienced. So that's why it's, you should know. It just, it's automatic. You know, so all these different things you wouldn't get. You know? So that is the importance of that in the Vedas, that the theory is practical, because you have to be able to connect it. And actually, the more practical, the more you can connect it, the more time, place, and circumstance you can understand how to use it. one example is given, the intelligent man can take that example and, contemplating it, extend it into all his areas of life. If not, then you have to hear again it explained, or a further example given, or, you know. So that's why Puranas are so nice, is because so many examples are given of basically the same thing. In different angles, different situations. You know, you have poor Brahmins interacting with their family and being Krishna conscious. You have great kings interacting. You have the residents of Vrindavan. You know, you have, you know, all these different things, so that no one can say, oh, my situation is different. You know? You know, we're so poor, so we always have to be busy, so we don't have time to think about Krishna. You have Brahmins that have nothing. Their families starve to death because they don't have anything. But then they all go back to Godhead. You know? So, you know, so it's like you can't say, or, you know, yeah, you know, either family members are, what do you call it, causing trouble for me, and, you know, stuff, or business partners, but did anyone cause more trouble than what Yudhishthira got from Duryodhana? No. So therefore, you can't claim my situation's different. You know? So that's the Shastra's given. It's all there. So it means practical. There's no such thing, because you can't divorce theory from practical in the Veda concept.
I think all the time now, when you're speaking about this, you know the story about that painter who was painting the chicken for the king? The king gave an order to the artist to paint him a nice chicken. And the artist sent for the order and disappeared. He disappeared from the whole palace. Gone. So after some while, the king got really upset. The man is not coming back. No picture, nothing. So he sent out the messengers. He sent out the messengers, you know, spies all over the kingdom, and they couldn't find him until they heard that in one village there's a crazy man living with the chickens. So they said, let's look at it. So they found the man sitting there living with the chickens. So they just grabbed him and dragged him back to the king, and they told him, and the king was really upset. He said, I told you to paint a chicken, not to live with the chicken. So what are you doing? Can you paint a chicken or not? He said, yes, I can paint it. So, you know, then they brought a canvas, and in no time, in a few seconds, he painted the most wonderful chicken. So the king was impressed. He said, how did you learn that? He said, I had to live with the chickens, you know, to learn how to paint a chicken. You know? So it's like, you know, that's practice. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, the concept was there, but he knew, I'm not going to learn how to paint chickens sitting in a palace here. There's no chickens here. There's nothing. So he was going out there living with them, up to the point they considered him to be a man. You know, and then actually he had so much data stored and so much experience from the chickens, it took him a few seconds to paint the chicken. I remember that study when you said about this, how actually the whole thing should work.
Yeah, that has to be practical. Because the point is, we're trying to go back to Godhead, so we're not just philosophizing or, you know, being nice, pious people. Mm-hmm. We're using the philosophy and the culture as tools to get us back to Godhead. Because ultimately, neither of those two are the point. The point is love for Krishna. But that's expressed through the culture. But without the philosophy, we won't be able to tell the difference between the spiritual culture and the material. So we need intelligence to split the two. At the same time, to show where the common elements are.
Yes. Especially nowadays, I find it so relevant, because people get access, unqualified people get access to theoretical knowledge. There's no distinction for the schooling system. There's no sifting through process. Everybody can go and get it, and then doing who knows what with it. And then it creates such a chaos in society. Even Vedic knowledge are only channeled, it goes into the false ego, you know, it just popped up. That's all. Therefore, I like this process of Buddhist tuition so much, because it's so practical. Not only you are giving to others, but you even don't know something that you are giving them, really. You cannot understand the depth of it. But you are already giving, and simultaneously you are just, you know, getting grinded down to the real level where you actually belong. I told once to Hare Kesha in the old days, I told him, it took me 15 years on Sankirtan just to get some glimpse of my Varna. Mm-hmm. And he was going like this, very good, very good. Most of the people don't get it the whole life. You know, like this. Yeah, yeah. And devotees suffer so much of this. To assume this ghostly illusory identities, which are good for somebody else, but not for him. Therefore, I'm clinching more and more, and even in approaching old age to this book distribution where I started being 18 years old, because it's really forcing people to be real. It's so pleasant to be with Sankirtan devotees because they are right away there. They don't even know much about Vana and Ashrama. This, that comes to them later. I said, with our book distribution, I couldn't get even decently situated in Krishna consciousness. I'm not a political person, I know that, but I love this, to come close to Brahmanas. I was always heading for the supportive role. That was always my role. I know, and once you know that position, life becomes more easy. Because you're not climbing up, you know. Me living in a place like this, I love this, just by seeing this. I love this, but time would come. I would go across the field, embark on the next airplane, and I need to get out there again. And it's not just the feeling of mercy for the other conditioned souls, but it's just, I have to get it out.
That's the nice thing, the Vedic thing, is that all natures can be so nicely engaged in Krishna's service. You know? That's how they can all be very, very nice.
So anyway, I don't want to interfere with some questions. Sorry, that just took some time. But I will still come more. But is there some way how to find out, to how to turn some email or something like this, or how
I would say to Priti Radha.
Are you from Finland?
How much longer are you here for?
Born in Czech Republic, I joined in Germany. I got initiated by Prabhupada in Germany. I'm the Schlossretters Hof group.
But I'm saying, in Mayapur now, how long will you stay?
Only 1 week more.
1 week?
Wednesday in 1 week.
Oh, okay, once a week. Okay. No, I would talk to him, and then you'd have to look at what is there and decide what you want, and then they'll put it on the CD for you.
So I should come. I will come on Friday or something like
that. That I would contact them now. It's probably good, just so that you know that if they're going to be around, that they don't go out.
Should I wait, or should I come on Friday? Or
you have to you know Preeti Vardhan? I mean, can you just ask him if he can come with me?
Germany.
Oh, okay.
He was always on the street for a while. I don't want to close letters. I know lots of devotees. Therefore, I just would like to just throw some hint, you know, when they ask. You know, we come across in the lectures in most points and this and that, and I use maybe a point, they say, this is for out, and I tell him, well, this is from this MP3, you know. You know, from Aktivitya Purnasara, you know, like that. I don't think they will be all able just to embark on some normal discourse.
Well, these can all be done. Means we're designing them that they're all done by correspondence.
They are done by correspondence.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying is they can. That's what I was saying before, is that they can read the Bhagavatam along with a study guide, go through it, understand it, then write the essay, and then by email send it in to her and her husband, like that. And then, you know, they'd be graded and that's sent back. Because then there may, if there's any need of rewriting it or anything, then it's redone. And then they move on to the next chapter. So that way, they can listen to the lectures, they can do the work on their own. Because most students can't come and stay in Mayapur. Even those who are here can't be here all year. You know, some are only here in the winter, or only for like 6 months, or, you know, different things, and they, so they may all go.
But
so
this is like strictly, basically spoken, just a school for the boys, no? There is no, like, accommodations
for them, they can stay here and study or something. No, just the boys are now. Adults, all the adults are day students at this point. Maybe in the future there'll be facility, but right now we're just first making it for the boys.
So this is all where I can become like a mini distribution agent.
No.
That's what's the. And for myself, I need some intensified hearing of this level, because I don't find really so much of this. It's very institutional, it's very, I don't want to be controversial, but I think you know what I'm talking about. It's very Amitai, like Tathagata, one of his basic, really sincere motivations for this process is he was in the army.
Oh,
he knows the mechanism of that upgraded corruption going up. He told me, as he was quite a high ranking officer. So he said, as high he was going, as cream or crazy, it got actually. So he dropped out of the army before even. He just met Krishna consciousness like that, he just dropped out because he was a very idealistic person. He wanted to be a really good soldier. And if you know Finnish people, they are actually very, they are like mega Germans, used to be. Finnish people are very tough, extremely tough. They drove all the Germans out, all the Russians out, you know, extremely tough people. The yatra in itself, the devotee is indestructible. But they had to go through, you know, all kinds of disasters. And there are devotees who are like 20 years going out on marathon, this whole distribution, same guy going out. Very, very solid people, very tough. I don't have to go there always because I find this thing. Usually in Europe we find always these new phases. It's a little changing all the time. Finland is always the same.
Okay.
So then I like to go.
This is Preeti Bhagavan with Mani Dar. Like that, is he's interested to just see and work out how to get some, what do you call it? Some of the MPEG lectures.
Actually,
yeah, well, he's saying he's here for a week, so it's probably easier you do it and just make a CD. Yeah, I would do that.
On DVD and as an MP3.
MP3 lectures put on DVD. How many gigabytes is that then?
Now it's I don't know. It fits on DVD still. It's less than 4.
Oh, you put all the lectures on
the
one?
The previous year, also the first time though.
Oh, okay. Well, he was also talking about beyond just other lectures before Bhagavatam or these other, you know, seminars and all the general stuff.
Just the
simple
episodes.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things like
that.
What I would say is go and look on there, they'll have a file of what's there, and then you decide what you want, and then he'll make the... Yeah?
You can look... You can look with Andrew Wati, or I'm going with the boys to the temple. But if you have time now, you can look right now. From the
a few minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Maharaj, I just had a question. Do you have a little bit of time?
A few minutes. I should, like 10, I should go.
Sure. It's from previous chapter. We spoke about those planets divided in... Asuras, Svarga Logas, and Muni Logas, and it's written here that it's divided by the qualities of the inhabitants. Can you just mention briefly those major qualities?
Well, it means the lower planets generally you have the basic acts that. Who was it? Mataji? You didn't want to look at what's there? Oh, you told them what to. Okay. Because of the ignorance, because they're not connected with the Lord, while the mode of passion and there is activity, and in there then sacrifice is performed, you know. But they're dealing in the realm of desire, but the action is there. It's not in ignorance. So generally, those ones there are more in knowledge of the universal affairs proper, and then the higher one would be that they're that mode of goodness, basically only for spiritual development. You know, that's how it's been put there. Yeah. See, because that Maharloka, then depending on how you define it, it could go into the higher planetary systems, or be counted in here into the ones below that, the middle. In that, that's where the Prajapatis live. So the Prajapatis, then they are the ones that propagate the universe. So if you're looking at it from they're involved in the field of sense gratification and those kind of the yagyas like that, it would be more along the line of karma, then you can put them on this side, you know. But at the same time, is for them, it's duty. It's not like Indra and everybody else. It's for sense actual enjoyment. It's for duty. So in that way, it puts them on those higher planets. Just it's the lower of that. So you have the Prajapatis, and you have, I think, the the yogis, and then you have the jnanis, and then you have the yogis are on Satyaloka, the ones who do you have meditation, and then those who do austerity. Yeah, means that. Means all the different places talk about it. Bhagavatam also, but yeah, that you'll see it there. Brihad Bhagavatam will give you the most detail on it. Is that it? Some meditate like that, and some do tapasya, right? Like that, and so that's what all goes on there. But the Prajapatis are at the lower end of that, because they're also, their purpose is the same, but they're doing it through grihastha life, while these other ones are not using grihastha life. So that was why they got put into the middle planets here rather than the upper. But at the same time, is in that, technically, the essence that has Burbhuvaswa. You know? It's just all the Bur, that you have Bur Loka, Swa Loka, and Swarga Loka, right? So Swarga is the heavenly planets, Bur is the earthly planets, and that Swa would be what's in between. You know what I'm saying? So technically, what's in between includes all those seven planets below. Right? Because it's higher, it's like heavenly, but at the same time, the consciousness is not as developed. And the Swarga would include, technically, all those Muni Lokas also. Because, you know what I'm saying? If you take it, when you hear about the 14 planetary systems, you hear about the 3.
Yep.
So the 3 includes the 14.
Mm-hmm.
So Bur means just the earth. Bhuvar means, you know, like yakshas, gandharvas, rakshasas, these that are, they're not heavenly planets, but they're higher than here, and it also includes all the lower planets. The Bila Swarg.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then Swarga means Swarga itself, and the planets above Swarga, you know, up to Brahma Loka. Does that make sense?
Yep.
But if you want to be specific, then it breaks down like this. Like that. Means if you're looking at it from it depends on, unless that was specifically mentioned like that. But generally we see in the Bhagavatam, it puts Mahar in with the Muni Lokas. Right? You know, because Kasyapa Muni and Kardama Muni, and they're Munis, but they're Prajapatis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're not interested in sense gratification, they're interested in performing the duties of a Prajapati. So it's slightly different. So if you don't make that distinction, the tendency would be to put them down. But if that's understood, then it puts them up. It's just that's the realm through which they want to express that dutifulness or that naishkarmya. While others want to do it through austerity or through jnana or through yoga, like that. So they do it through karma. Does that make sense? So it's just karma, jnana, and yoga is being used on its, you know, how you say, as good as it gets material platform, you know?
Mm.
You know, the topmost platform of the material. So that's the Muni Lokas. Like that. Then there's, higher than that, is they're all used for devotion to Krishna. And then it goes also. Just like we'll say, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a grihastha, we don't put him on a lower level. Because his family life is connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? But someone else who's not on that level, then the grihastha life wouldn't be put on that level. It would be put in a lower position. Right? You'd put your renunciates in lower. But in this, you wouldn't make any distinction. Right? Socially, you might, of course, because that's why they're on the lower end of the other planets. The Muni Lokas would be respectful to those on the, you know, Janatapa and Satya Lokas. But at the same time, as, you know, as devotees, it doesn't really make any difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Get all our classes from a geesh, but
this